In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I am so happy to be along with you on this Sunday morning. My name is Ann Baldwin, the host of this program. And boy, I'm telling you, you know, put your seatbelts on because we've got a conversation I think that you will really relate to and want to hear about. This morning, we're talking with Norma Peterson, and Norma is the executive director of Document the Abuse. We're going to get into what that is all about, how this organization started, and just some really almost bone-chilling things that have happened through Norma's life and within her organization. So without further ado, Norma, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning all the way from the Windy City.
Thank you so much for having me, Anne.
Well, it's a pleasure, Norma. And, you know, nobody tells the story better than you do. So why don't you go ahead and get us started with kind of how Document the Abuse all got started, going back to Susan Murphy Milano.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about what's going on here. So I am the sister-in-law to missing Bolingbrook, Illinois mother, Stacy Peterson, who was the fourth wife of Drew Peterson, a Bolingbrook police officer. We are coming up now on what will be 14 years that Stacy's been missing on October 28th. You know, we still are searching for her. We support all of her sister's efforts to find her, which she still does and will continue to do until we can bring her home.
So
her children are almost grown now.
All right, so let's clarify this, Norma. So that means that you said that you, Stacy, was your sister-in-law, or is your sister-in-law, however you want to put that. And so that means that your husband is the brother of Drew Peterson.
Correct. You know, they're very much alike, but obviously very, very different.
Well,
you know, it's kind of crazy.
So why don't you give our listeners just a little refresher about that whole case and what transpired?
So what had happened is on October 28th, 2007, my 23-year-old sister-in-law went missing. And what wound up happening was just a myriad of things. First, when she went missing, Drew told everyone that she left with her bikini, $25,000, and ran off with some random person that nobody knew of. And I don't think he expected the kind of media attention that he got when Stacy went missing, because all of a sudden there were all these people that were coming to his door and, you know, asking him questions. And I don't think he in any way expected that. because she wasn't well known in her community. She was just a young girl. So when all these people came to his door, he had to, you know, all of a sudden really start to explain what had gone on. And unfortunately, what wound up happening, as so many people saw, was he found a way to go out into the media, and he almost thrived on it. I mean, people saw him from one end of the country to the other, you know, talking about how she had left him, that, you know, poor me. And it was just, I couldn't believe all the things that were happening, because how we found out was on TV. My husband saw it on TV and came to wake me up to tell me that she was missing. We didn't even hear it from him.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, wouldn't common sense say that if I am close to the person that is missing, you wouldn't call me to say, hey, do you know where she might have gone? Do you know who she might have left with? You know, all these kinds of details. And not once did he ever do that. He didn't call us until after we found out on the TV.
So what was your...
So that...
What was your initial reaction? What was your initial reaction when you heard that she was missing and you found out from television news? What did you initially think? What did you and your husband think had happened?
Well, actually, the both of us varied in our reactions. My husband, keep in mind that this is his brother, and, you know, his first thought is, she's a young girl, maybe she did leave. So here's, let me say, set the stage for how this happened. He normally would get up very early in the morning to start working on his computer, because we were had a business at home at this period of time. So he would get up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And we had just purchased a large screen TV. So it was, you know, quite huge in our living room. So I was upstairs asleep, and this is at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. He comes upstairs and he says, Norma, I think you need to wake up and see this. And I'm like, what's going on? And he says to me, it's Stacy. She's on the TV. They say she's missing. And without even a hesitation, I say, he killed her. I just know that my sister-in-law would have never left her family willingly. It took my husband probably about 6 months to really be able to come to the realization fully that his brother had done what he had done.
Well, and Norma,
you know, it takes some time.
Right. And you were telling me that you and your husband, that your husband, Paul, that you guys then went and moved in with him, right? Moved in with Drew to help with the kids.
Correct. So I couldn't imagine leaving 4 young children in his care and seeing him out in the media. And when this first happened, he brought someone in that we had no idea who this person was to come in and care for 4 young children. And we're talking, you know, one less than 2 years old and the other one three and a half, you know, along with what, 10 and 12 at the time, you know. So it's like, oh, there's no way I'm leaving these guys alone in his care. So we dropped everything from our home and our business, and we went and moved in, and we got the kids off to school every day. I got them fed, cooked them dinner, tried to make things as normal as possible within such a chaotic time. So we had to, you know, I had to do what was best for them, and that's what we felt was best for them. Now, we stayed there about 2 months. You know, you didn't see us in the press because they were kind enough to realize that the only reason that I was there was to take care of the kids. So whenever I was coming in and out, the children, you know, I usually had the kids with me. So they would back off and leave the children alone because they were underage and they were going through so much.
Right.
So that's why you never saw us out there.
Well,
but it only took about 2.5 months, and then he kicked us out. He didn't need us anymore.
Wow. Well, you know, and you know, that's really, that shows respect, right? That the media that was camped outside of of Drew's home, you know, gave you that opportunity, if you will, to try to be as normal as you could and really not sensationalize and put it on the kids and yourself. So let's fast forward a little bit as this case continues. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Norma Peterson. She's the executive director of Document the Abuse. So how does this wind into really your cause in life, which is Document the Abuse? How did this really change your mission and your role?
You know, I'm in a position right now as executive director for Document the Abuse, and I never imagined that this is where I would be, you know, helping to move this movement forward. But in going through everything that we did, in learning all the things that Kathleen had gone through, because in finding out about Stacy going missing, it took them back to what happened with his third wife who was passed. And so in learning all of those details, Susan Murphy Milano, who was a domestic violence awareness advocate here in the area, had written a book called Time's Up, which, how appropriate. It is a way to safely escape an abusive situation. And so she took all the things that she had seen that Kathy had that came in under hearsay and created an evidentiary abuse affidavit that now allows victims to be able to assemble all those same types of evidences of what you are stating is going on with you, and keeping it as almost a digital diary, if you will. It's a way for you to assemble everything together, just like Kathleen, his third wife, had. She had had 18 police reports. She had had 2 hospital reports. She had written the assistant state's attorney to no avail. I mean, she had done everything that a victim can do to try to ensure their safety, and no one listened. So now comes the evidentiary abuse affidavit. And because it is in the form of an affidavit, and, you know, so much of the importance is, you know, A, getting it notarized, gets it to its full potential, but B, making copies of it or letting someone know that it exists, so should something happen to you, there is evidence of what went on. So let's say, you know, let's take Kathleen's case. When Kathleen passed, her family would have been able to take this affidavit forward. So then, as opposed to it being hearsay, they would have had to accept it as a legal document.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best part of it is, after you fill out your incident that you want to talk about, you can put in a video, and that's what we're asking you to do, to put in a video portion. It's right inside of the affidavit to record it and say everything that you're listing in your affidavit. So how powerful is that going to be in a court of law when someone is not there to testify on their own behalf?
Because they're gone.
Bring that affidavit in.
Right, because they're gone. So let me just back up a little bit. So Kathleen Savino was Drew Peterson's second wife?
Kathleen Savio.
Correct. Savio. Okay, she was his second wife. And
she was his third wife.
Third wife, okay. And let me just be clear then. And so did he ever get convicted of her murder?
That's why he's in jail right now.
That's the only reason.
If Stacy had not gone missing, he would have literally gotten away with murder. But when she went missing, which we all know really what happened to her, I'm not going to see my sister-in-law again. At least not the way that I did before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that.
Right.
You know, so when she went missing, what it did was it brought everything else up to light, because they actually looked at his second wife had had a car accident during their divorce, and that wound up being looked at. So this is a man who is truly not just a narcissist, but also a sociopath. Everything belongs to him. If you are going to try and take anything away from him, and this includes his children, he is not going to stand for it, and he didn't. He tried to hurt everyone whoever tried to leave him or ever tried to take anything from him.
Wow. So this is a tool, right? This is a tool in the court of law, as you said, for people to document what they're going through. So, you know, in the horrifying case that something actually happens to you, which in most cases it probably does, that this can be brought into a court of law as your actual testimony, whether you're there or not. So where is this document and how can people access that?
So if you go to documenttheabuse.com and there is a tab on there called the Evidentiary Abuse Affidavit. And what I would like to point out is, yes, it happens like it did with Kathleen and with Stacy. And had Kathleen had this EAA filled out and had it so that her family would have been able to bring it forth, Stacy might still be here.
Mm-hmm.
So more importantly, on the side of prevention,
yeah,
what we're doing is we're asking victims, go in here and fill this out when something, you know, because we know it takes 5 to 7 times on the average for a victim to leave. So let's say at that third instance, if a victim goes on there and fills this out and uploads pictures or puts in email correspondence, you know, takes snaps of the text that may have come through and they put all this together, maybe what they're starting to do is look at what's really going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm. It's an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener, right?
There you go. So now what they're doing is they're taking a much stronger look and going, you know what? This is not what I want for myself. I can see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what they do is they reach out and they don't get to that fifth time. They don't get to that sixth time.
Right. We can only hope. What if the abuser runs across this document? What if they find this kind of, you know, what
well, that's where the difficulty would be in doing so. That's the beauty of this. I mean, A, Susan was so ahead of her time creating this, but what we've done is we've taken it to that next level and we've made it a web-based app. So it's not something that you download from the app store. So there's no way to track that.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, we're taking that component of insecurity out. This is a web-based app. So with a username and a password, you can access this from any iPad, iPhone, computer. So now you can go to the library. You can go to your best friend's house. You can go to your church. You know, anywhere that you can access this,
mm-hmm.
a computer or the internet, you can go back on there. So the abuser doesn't have to know that you have this.
Great.
And it's held for you securely on a platform that no one will ever look at this unless there is a subpoena that goes to, let's say, a trial that is going to be held where someone is going to be held accountable for someone's death. And you need this information in order to make that happen. Will you get me a subpoena and your estate's attorney that's prosecuting, I'm on board.
Right.
We can do this. If it's someone else, you know, well then, you know, there's no reason that they would know this unless they've caused harm to someone.
Right.
And then, even in that position, if you're going to a state's attorney because an incident has happened, you're not taking that EAA with you. What it's there for is now your diary. You can go to the state's attorney's office and go, okay, on October 28th, this happened and this happened and here's my pictures and here's the email. So you're able to use it in order to bring that information forward because now you're here to testify to it.
Right. Okay, so let me ask you this. Again, we're speaking with Norma Peterson, the executive director of Document the Abuse. So I understand that you and your husband were recently interviewed by Dateline. So this whole story and what's still transpiring is going to be on Dateline, you said, in November?
Correct. Thank you so much for mentioning that. For the first time ever, my husband is going to be speaking out. And so, you know, we went through so much, and I know that people must wonder, you know, about what he thinks or how he feels. So for the first time, he's going to be speaking. And they told us, yes, mid-November. So I'm expecting, you know, whatever Friday night before Thanksgiving mm-hmm. would be my guess. And it is going to be a 2-hour special. I also recently did a documentary that is running on Reels Network right now. And also in the UK, I did a documentary that is now out on Discovery Plus UK.
Right, and the name of that
documentary... Hopefully in the next year.
Right.
Yeah, we'll be seeing that here.
Right. So the name of that documentary in the UK is The Killer in My Family. What a strong headline for that. What is the premise of the Dateline piece without giving it all away?
Well, a lot of it does have to do with the fact that my husband is speaking out about what went on and the fact that it is the 14th anniversary. She is still missing. It is still an open case. You know, it still has the interest of the public out there. And the work that I'm doing, what's being done on behalf of victims, is actually becoming a nationwide used resource. So that in and of itself, so the fact that something good has coming out of some so tragic a set of circumstances, that, you know, it still has the interest of the public, luckily.
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to the kids? Whatever happened to Stacey Peterson's children?
So all four children, we did continue to help take care of them for the first 2 years. And then his second oldest son, who had always, you know, been involved in that part of it, took full custody of them and raised them in the home that Stacey and Drew owned. So they, you know, they're fine young people. They've done quite well under the circumstances that they've had. Steve has provided them a very stable home. They are now 18 and 16. And so, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, being able to talk with them more and, you know, spend more time with them now that they're grown and we can, you know, talk about things a little bit more in depth.
As a sister-in-law and, you know, with your husband being his brother, were there any signs that Drew was abusing Stacey Peterson?
Unfortunately for me, yes, there was. There had been an instance where I saw her with a bruise on her hip, and she explained that Drew had shoved her up against the TV. There was another instance where I had witnessed him really getting up in her face one day at a family party that was held in the August before she went missing. And he didn't realize that I was in the house at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone upstairs to use the washroom. And he thought it was just the two of them in the room. And when I came downstairs, I saw him literally inches away from her face, yelling at her in such a nasty tone. And literally when I came around the corner, he instantly stopped. And he just looked at me and I stared at him.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was staring at him, I kept walking out to the back door and all of the family was out there. And so he knew that I might even say something about what I had just witnessed. So he very quickly, I mean, just like I said, it was like instantaneous, watching the change in his demeanor and his behavior, because he laughed it off and he immediately followed me outside to see what I was going to say.
Right.
Or, you know, so there were a couple of other instances where I did realize that she might be in danger, but she had said that, you know, she didn't want to tell too many people, because she was afraid for them too.
Right. Well, you know, there are monsters out there, and this really is a tool. And, you know, I just want to say hats off to the late Susan Murphy Milano, who created all this. And like you said, Norma, she was so ahead of her time. And this is a tool, again, if you can tell people how to access it. We're not just talking about women. We're talking about men and women who might be in an abusive situation. At least start writing it down. Start documenting it so that you can review what's going on. And God forbid something happens, at least there is, you know, written and visual and maybe even video proof of abuse.
Thank you so much. That is true. I mean, it really... I was blessed to be able to work with Susan before she left, and she literally passed 5 years to the day that my sister-in-law went missing.
Wow.
So it just seems like it's come full circle that Kathleen, Stacy, and Susan would provide a way for victims, having been victims themselves and having gone through what they went through, to be able to put DocumentTheAbuse.com out there. So please, by all means, regardless of whatever your situation is, because this is stalking, harassment, workplace violence. In any capacity that you have a potential for violence, you can use this. So yes, gender doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, socioeconomic status doesn't, you know, wherever you feel your life might be in danger, it would only be, you know, to your advantage and to help others who might be helping you to advocate on your behalf, to be able to give them all this information in such a meaningful way. So please go to DocumentTheAbuse.com or look up the Evidentiary Abuse Affidavit. We are on Facebook. We are, I am on LinkedIn. We're working on getting on WhatsApp, on Instagram. You know, we do have a Twitter. So I'm doing my best to get out there. My husband is supporting me in every way possible.
Right. Well,
Norma
Peterson, I know it's a lot of work and you're doing good things for a lot of people. So thank you so much. We'll look forward to the Dateline special, which will be coming up in November. And I just want to thank you again for taking the time to educate us. I'm sorry for what you're all continuing to go through, but keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Anne. I really do appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you again. And thanks to all of you for listening to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead. Get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products.
We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.